It was an altar, and Neely could see the Spartans bowing before it as they made their way to the field each Friday night. The wind picked up and scattered leaves in front of Neely. Practice was over, and the soiled and sweaty players were trudging toward the field house. He didn't want to be seen, so he walked down the track and through a gate. He climbed up 30 rows and sat all along the bleachers, high above Rake Field, with a view of the valley to the east. Church steeples rose above the gold and scarlet trees of Messina in the distance. The steeple on the far left belonged to the Methodist Church, and a block behind it, unseen from the bleachers, was a handsome two-story home the town had given to Eddie Rake on his 50th birthday. And in that home, Miss Lila and her three daughters and all the rest of the Rakes were now gathered, waiting for the coach to take his last breath. No doubt the house was full of friends, too, with trays of food covering the tables and flowers stacked everywhere. Were any former players there? Neely thought not. The next car into the parking lot stopped near Neely's. This Spartan wore a coat and tie, and as he walked casually across the track, he, too, avoided stepping onto the playing surface. He spotted Neely and climbed the bleachers. "How long you been here?" he asked as they shook hands. "Not long," Neely said. "Is he dead?" "No, not yet." Paul Curry caught 47 of the 63 touchdown passes Neely threw in their three-year career together, Crenshaw to Curry, time and time again, practically unstoppable. They had been co-captains. They were close friends who drifted apart over the years. They still called each other three or four times a year. Paul's grandfather built the first bank in Messina, so his future had been sealed at birth. Then he married a local girl from another prominent family. Neely was the best man, and the wedding had been his last trip back to Messina. "How's the family?" Neely asked. "Fine. Mona's pregnant." "Of course she's pregnant. 5 or 6? "Only 4. Neely shook his head. They were sitting 3 feet apart, both gazing into the distance, chatting but preoccupied. There was noise from the field house as cars and trucks began leaving. "How's the team?" Neely asked. "Not bad. 1-4, lost 2. Coach is a young guy from Missouri. I like him. Talent's thin." "Missouri?" "Yeah. Nobody within 1,000 miles would take the job." Neely glanced at him and said, "You put on some weight." "I'm a banker and a Rotarian, and I can still outrun you." Paul stopped quickly, sorry that he'd blurted out the last phrase. Neely's left knee was twice the size of his right. "I'm sure you can," Neely said with a smile. "No harm done." They watched the last of the cars and trucks speed away, most of them squealing tires or at least trying to, a lesser Spartan tradition. Then things were quiet again. "Do you ever come here when the place is empty?" Neely asked. "I used to. And walk around the field and remember what it was like back then?" "I did, until I gave it up. Happens to all of us. This is the first time I've come back here since I retired my number." "Yeah, and you haven't given it up. You're still living back then, still dreaming, still the All-American quarterback." "I wish I'd never seen a football," Neely said. "You had no choice in this town. Rake had us in uniforms when we were in the 6th grade. 4 teams, red, blue, gold, black, remember? No green because every kid wanted to wear green. We played Tuesday nights and drew more fans than most high schools. We learned the same plays Rake was calling on Friday night, the same system. We dreamed of being Spartans and playing before 10,000 fanatics. By the 9th grade, Rake himself was supervising our practices, and we knew all 40 plays in his book, knew them in our sleep." "I still know them," Neely said. "So do I. Remember the time he made us run slot waggle right for 2 solid hours in practice?" "Yeah, because you kept screwing up." "Then we ran bleachers until we puked." "That was Rake," Neely said. "You count the years until you get a varsity jersey. Then you're a hero. An idol, a cocky bastard because in this town you can do no wrong. You win and win and win, and you're the king of your own little world. Then, poof, it's gone. You play your last game, and everybody cries. You can't believe it's over. Then another team comes right behind you, and you're forgotten. It was so long ago, Neely mumbled. 15 years, pal. When I was in college, I would come home for the holidays and stay away from this place. I wouldn't even drive by the school. Never saw Rake. Didn't want to. Then one night in the summertime, right before I went back to college, just a month or so before they fired him, I bought a six-pack, climbed up here, and replayed all the games. Stayed for hours. I could see us out there, scoring at will, kicking ass every game. It was wonderful. Then it hurt like hell because it was over. Our glory days gone in a flash. Did you hate Rake that night? Neely asked. No, I loved him. It changed every day. For most of us. Does it hurt now? Not anymore. After I got married, we bought season tickets, joined the booster club, the usual stuff that everybody does. Over time, I forgot about being a hero and became just another fan. So you come to all the games? Paul pointed down to the left. Sure, the bank owns a whole block of seats. You need a whole block with your family. Mona is very fertile. Evidently. How does she look? She looks pregnant. I mean, you know, is she in shape? In other words, is she fat? That's it. No, she exercises 2 hours a day and eats only lettuce. She looks great and she wants you over for dinner tonight. For lettuce? For whatever you want, Neely. Can I call her? Nah, not yet. Let's just talk.